Proverbs 21, verse 2. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. That's what I felt like reading to you. We had a thought or a text. It would be, I did it my way. Now, Bobby Reed does not have a CD queued up back there to play Frank Sinatra. And Frank's not here to come out and sing to us. And this message is really not a celebration of how we do things the way we want to do. You see, there's really only one way. And Jesus said, I am the way.
Amen.
The truth and the life. But we're human. And whenever we're not in the center of God's will, it's easy for us to try to do things my way.
Amen.
And so we read in God's word about some folks that tried to do things their way. And I'd like, if the Lord will help me for just a few minutes, I'd like to preach to you this morning about doing things our way and what happens as a result. So we read about a fellow named Balaam, and I guess you'd say he was probably acquainted with God, and because his neighbors realized that whoever Balaam cursed was cursed, and whoever Balaam blessed was blessed. And Balak, the leader of Moab, looked up and saw God's children coming down through the land toward Moab, and he was afraid. So he went to Balaam and offered to bribe him to curse God's children. And I'm not going to get all into that, but I just want to get to the point of where Balaam told him that he couldn't do anything more than what God would allow him to do. And Balaam prayed, and the Lord told him, if the men of Balak came and called for him again that morning, that he was to go with them. Now you see, doing things my way and doing things God's way are different. His ways, he said, my ways are not your ways, thus saith the Lord. And my thoughts are not your thoughts. We can't think God out. Did you know it? We can't rationalize God out. We'll have to go his way or we'll be in trouble.
Amen.
And so instead of waiting on the men of Balak to come and to call Balaam to go with them, Balaam jumped the gun, I guess you'd say. When he got up that morning, he packed his stuff, and without waiting on the invitation, he took off with him. When you don't do things God's way, trouble is coming. And so he got on his beast and he rode down the way. And as he rode down the way, there stood an angel of God with his sword drawn to slay Balaam. And Balaam was so blind. You know what happens whenever we try to do things our way? We're walking in darkness. When we try to do things our way, it's not God's way. When we try to do things our way, trouble is on the way. Balaam was so blinded by what that Balak was offering him that he jumped the gun and went anyway. And there stood the angel to slay Balaam right in the way. And the only thing that saved Balaam was that little donkey. That little donkey saw the angel and he turned off into a field rather than continuing in the path and the way that they were going. And Balaam got angry because it wasn't his way. And he slapped the beast of burden. He hit it and he beat it. And we read where that they were walking on down the path, and there was Balaam on the little donkey, and there was a wall on one side and a wall on the other, and there stood the angel of God with a sword drawn, ready to take Balaam's life. and the donkey leaned up against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot rather than to continue on into the angel and have Balaam slain. And Balaam didn't like it because the donkey didn't do what he wanted it to do. He wanted to go his way. He was determined to go his way. And when the donkey stubbed up, now we know that donkeys are known to be stubborn. And I remember one time a few years ago during the pageant, maybe it was the first year that we had it, whenever I came here, and we had a donkey and it was stubborn. We tried to load it into the trailer to take it to Raymond's to put it up for the night, and it wouldn't go. And there was about four or five of us men pushing as hard as we could push, trying to lead it, trying to guide it, trying to bribe it, pushing behind it, and it stood up and stood there and would not move. And we went through about three nights of that before the donkey relented and just walked right up in the trailer like he had done it all week long. But here is this donkey, and they're known to be stubborn. And Balaam was beating the donkey because it wouldn't do what he wanted to do. It wouldn't go his way. Let me tell you something, friends. Things aren't always meant to go my way. They're not always meant to go your way, but they're always meant to go God's way.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless his heart.
And finally, they got to a place on the path where the donkey couldn't turn left and he couldn't turn right. And so, he rather than go into the angel and the angel take Balaam's life, the little beast just sat down and quit on Balaam. Rather than have him lose his life, because the donkey could see what Balaam couldn't see. The donkey could see the angel waiting to slay Balaam, and Balaam couldn't see it. Why? He was blinded because he wanted to do things his way. And so Balaam began again to beat the little beast, to beat the donkey. Now, you're sitting here this morning saying, God can't use me. You're sitting here this morning saying, God couldn't do something like me. Well, this is a lesson for you this morning. God used a donkey to spare a man's life. He opened up the donkey's mouth and allowed the donkey to talk so that Balaam could see the peril that he was in. You're not here by happenstance this morning. You're not here just because you decided to get up and come of your own volition. You're here because God has something for you this morning. And I'm here to tell you today, it's not your way, it's God's way.
Amen.
I did it my way. I'll do it the way I want to do it. I'll go down there, I'll tell a Balak what he wants to hear, and I'll collect what he wants to give me, and that's how I'm going to do it, because that's the way I want it. But God said otherwise, and God had the angel sent to slay Balaam because that he wasn't doing it his way. And the donkey spoke, and when the donkey spoke, Balaam's eyes were open, and he saw the angel, and he repented. Let me let you in on a little secret. You're a part of this church, and this church loves you. You may hate it, you may despise it, you may say evil against it, but I'm here to tell you today, there are some people at Dutch Bottoms that are praying for you. And except for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, that these folks have prayed in your life, you may meet with peril, you may meet with the angel, you may meet with death. I'm here to tell you today, the only thing that keeps us from leaving this world is the mercy and the long suffering of the Savior.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless him, Lord.
I did it my way.
Come on now.
So we read about a little damsel. She was in church too.
Come on, bless him, Lord.
So here we are. Balaam, who you'd consider someone that knew God, because whoever he blessed was blessed, whoever he cursed was cursed. This little damsel who was in church and was following Peter and following John, following the apostles, following Paul. And as they preached, we hear this damsel that had the gift of divination. saying these men are preachers of the Lord High God. These men that show us the way of salvation. What she was saying was true. But you know what was missing? The right spirit. Just because I sang Amazing Grace does not mean God wants me to. What? Listen. If God didn't place it in my heart to sing that song, then I shouldn't sing it.
Amen.
Now that's a little weak. Now come on.
Amen. Bless him, Lord.
What if Marty taught Sunday school this morning, and the whole time he was teaching, I stood up over here and said, Marty's a saved man. Marty's a good man. You need to listen to him. Teach on Marty. Marty's a saved man. He's a good man. You need to listen to him. That'd all be true. I believe every word of it. But it wouldn't be godly. It wouldn't be according to the Spirit. Let me tell you something. Without the Spirit, you're none of his. Is that not the book? Now listen. I believe there's a certain fear in serving the Lord and working for him. And without that fear moves you, without you're afraid to listen. Whenever I get up to preach, and I believe I could speak on behalf of these other preachers, it, without that fear way down deep on the inside, every time I get up, I can feel that. I've been preaching for 20 plus years. And every time I get up, there's a little bit of a fear on the inside. I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of the world or what they might think. I know every time I stand, it's recorded. I'm not afraid of that. But what I am afraid of is not living where the Lord would have me to be. What I am afraid of is failing God and not being able to be in a place where I can preach the gospel for him. I don't want to let him down because I know what he's got for his people is important.
Amen.
Come on now. Bless him, Lord.
Come on.
Help him, Jesus.
So this little lady, every time Paul and Silas stood up to preach, these men are servants of the Most High God that show unto us the way of salvation. Every word that she said was true, but it wasn't from God. And you know what Paul did? He cast the spirit out of her. He cast the spirit out of her. You see, friends, she was doing what she thought she was supposed to be doing.
That's right.
But it wasn't according to the Spirit.
Amen.
I've seen folks do things, and I've bore witness of that here before. And I'll just tell this again. We got all kinds of time.
Amen.
Went to a revival meeting one night, and the Spirit of the Lord was moving, and the preacher called for everybody to come up for altar prayer, and there was a crowd there. It was so tight that we were almost shoulder to shoulder on the altar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And people began to testify and talk and cry, and the Lord passing by. And then there was a fellow stood about right here, and he began to tell about what all he had done. And he began to tell about a dream that he had, about everybody in the church being wrong except him. And he talked on for about 10 minutes or so. And by the time he got done, he could have stuck his arms out in all directions around him and couldn't have touched a single person. Everybody just backed off. And I admired the preacher. I admired the pastor. He didn't jump on him. He didn't try to correct him with scripture. He didn't embarrass him in front of the whole crowd. He just said, let's pray. And everybody hit their knees and prayed. And whenever the prayer was finished, everybody got up and went back to their seats. And he opened up the book and he preached on try the Spirit. Listen, I believe the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ is love. I believe the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ is joy. I believe the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ is peace.
Yes.
I believe that the Spirit will show me where I'm at and where I need to be. I believe the Spirit should take precedence above what I want.
Amen.
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 That's right. That's right. Bless you.
And would you believe it? There were some folks that didn't like it because Paul cast out the spirit in the damsel. They lost their livelihood. And they locked Paul and Silas up because of that. They beat them. Somebody said something or another. Might have been in the Sunday school lesson this morning. I believe this. There's not a preacher under the sound of my voice this morning that's not took a tongue lashing at least once.
Amen.
I've got letters. That's okay. I'll just be like Paul was. When they told them not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus, they went away praising the Lord that they were worthy to suffer shame for His name. I'm going to preach on.
Bless you, Lord.
I'm going to preach on.
Amen.
All right. I did it my way. And so we get to a fellow that walked with Jesus, that talked with Jesus, that saw the miracles that He did day after day after day. And you say, if I'd have been there, I'd have done it my way. This fellow did. He did it his way. As a matter of fact, when the woman that had the alabaster box full of ointment, when she broke that and she spread it over Jesus' feet and she washed His feet with her tears and dried them with her hair, this man spoke up. And he said, could we not have taken this and sold it and took the money and fed the poor? And so we read on down. Whenever it was getting close to time for Jesus to go to Calvary, He confided it to Pharisees and He said, what would you give me that I would betray Him? And we read where that they agreed with Him for 30 pieces of silver. Now you know who did it His way, don't you? Now you know what I'm talking about. We're talking about Judas Iscariot. And you say, if I'd have been there, I'd have done it different. Let me tell you something. We're all human and we've sold Him out for far less.
Yes. Amen. 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 Come on,
right, bless Him, Lord.
Bless Him, Lord.
When we please this flesh rather than pleasing the Savior, we're selling Him out.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Right. When I do what I want because I'm going to do it my way, I'm selling Him out.
That's right.
There's nothing wrong with fishing. If you like racing, there's nothing wrong with racing. If you like sports, basketball, football, baseball, there's nothing wrong with that. As long as you don't put that in front of the Savior.
Amen. Amen.
As long as you don't put that in front of a tent in your church.
Amen.
That's
right. Judas said, give me that 30 pieces of silver. And you know what happened? The soldiers marched down on where Jesus and His disciples were. And Judas, who had seen Him raise the dead, he had heard Him say, Lazarus, come forth. And he had seen Lazarus come forth out of the tomb with his grave clothes. He had witnessed a miracle. He had seen Him heal the eyes of the blind so that they could see. Judas had seen Jesus make the lame to walk. He had seen Jesus do miracle after miracle. He seen Him heal the woman with the issue of blood. He seen Him make a crazy man sane. He seen Him raise Jairus' daughter. And here he is, sell him out for 30 pieces of silver. Well, what I've done, what am I to think? Let me tell you something. Your sin affects your children to the second and the third generation. I'm here to tell you today, no man, is this Bible? No man liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. What you do affects your spouse. What you do affects your family. What you do affects your neighbor. What you do affects your mama. What you do affects your family. It's a witness for or against you.
Amen. Amen.
You know how bad I'd like to preach on heaven, but this is what the Lord sent, and I can't do it my way. I got to do it God's way. How did that work out for Judas doing things? his way. I believe when he seen that Jesus was condemned, he took the 30 pieces of silver back to the priests and the Pharisees, and he cast them down at their feet. He begged them to take the money back. He wished he could not have done that. He wanted to undo it. He wanted to make things right. He wanted Jesus to live. He had seen what he could do. He knew what kind of person that he was. Did you know there are people that will crucify you knowing that you're doing your best to try to live for the Lord? Amen. Oh, listen to me today. Amen. They may live to regret that, but all we can do is say, Jesus, help them. Yeah. Jesus, touch Amen. Them. Yeah. Jesus, send your spirit their way. I'm telling you today, this church is praying for you.
Amen.
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 Oh, I'm going to do what I want to do. Okay. How'd that work for you, Judas? He cried, didn't he? And he ran out, and when he seen he couldn't fix things, let me tell you something. All it takes is just a few unkind words. Just a little bit of that deadly poison. Are you hearing me today? Just a little bit of that deadly poison to slip out between these lips, and you'll do things you can't undo. You'll kill things that you can't bring back to life.
That's right.
You'll cause injuries that people will never get over. You need this, don't you? Okay. Are you hearing me today? Is this thing still on? God is
love.
You may disagree with some of the things I preached to you this morning. Can you agree with me on this one thing? Are we all in agreement? Is this 100% this morning?
Amen.
God is
love.
Is that true?
Amen.
Have you experienced it?
Yes.
Do you know how it feels?
Yes.
Has he shown you love?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Judas went out and hanged himself. He was so ridden with guilt because of what his betrayal had caused. He couldn't undo it. He couldn't fix it. He couldn't make it right. Be careful trying to do things your way. You'll make a mistake that you can't never get right again. All right. I know I'm not walking the pews and you're not running the aisles. But the Lord's helping me for a minute or two.
Bless you, Lord.
All right. And the Lord knows what we need.
Amen.
I did it my way. The preacher, I wish the Lord would talk to me. He's written you a book.
Amen.
If I want to know Dr. Field's thoughts, I'll read Dr. Field's book. If I want to know Billy Graham's thoughts, he wrote several books, I could read one of his books. If I wanted to know Barack Obama or Donald Trump or you name it, any of these men that we know that have served as president, they've all got books written about them. I could read one of their books. If I want to know what Jesus is, Amen. What he thinks, what he's got to, and I'm going to preach this today. If you read Barack's book, if you read Donald's book, that's history, and that can't be changed. But the book that Jesus wrote for you and me is a living document. It's better than the Constitution. It applies to my life. And your life, and I'm going to preach to you. If you get down God's Word and read it, you'll find something in here for you every day.
Amen. Amen. Come on, bless him.
That's good. And it's not my way, it's God's way.
Amen.
But that's the world we live in today. Burger King's ran for 30 years on have it your way. And that's what we want. We want it our way. Remember what I told you at the beginning of the sermon? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let's go on to the next verse. You want to go to the next verse? No man cometh to the Father but by me. Any man that would come up any other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Let me tell you something. The thieves and the robbers ain't going to make it.
That's right.
They can't get there. They don't have a ladder tall enough to climb through the window. They don't know the address. Oh, you know who's going to be there? The redeemed of the Lord.
Amen.
Bless him, Lord.
I wish you'd talk to me. Well, I'm not hard to get a hold of. Most of you got my number in your phone. And if your phone's not working, I live at 3020 Oliver Street, White Pine, Tennessee. Most of you have been over at one time or another. After four, they keep me at work till about 4 o'clock. And when I get in my car, you know the first place I go? 3020 Oliver Street, because that's my home. We may get out and go to the grocery store. We may go out to the mall or something like that. But in the end, you know where we go? Back to 3020 Oliver Street, because that's our home. I wish the Lord would talk to me. Have you tried going to his house?
Hey,
man,
come on now.
Hey, man.
Come on.
Yeah.
Bless
him,
Lord.
Come on. He speaks in a still, small voice, we are told. A voice that dispels all fear. And when I'm in doubt or trouble in soul, that still, small voice I can't hear. What's it say to you, preacher? Yes, he whispers to me. He whispers sweet peace to me when I am cast down in spirit and soul. He whispers sweet peace to me. I can go on, but I need to finish this. That's not every time that I come to his house that he's here. It's not his fault, it's mine. But if you come often enough, sooner or later, he'll pass by.
Amen.
You'll catch him.
Thank you.
You might come to 3020 Oliver Street.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And I might be out at the grocery store. I might be out paying a bill or something. I might not be there in that instant. But if you'll come back the next day, and you'll come back the next day, sooner or later, you'll catch me there because that's where I live. If you want to talk to Jesus, come to his house, and he'll show up, and he'll speak to you.
Amen.
We're expecting an earthquake. We're expecting a rushing mighty wind. We're expecting a great fire. Well, Elijah didn't find him in none of that, so why should we?
Amen.
As a matter of fact, he found him in a still small voice.
Amen.
I did it my way. Let me tell you something. You'll never get to heaven your way.
That's it. Amen. Come on now.
You'll have to go to Jesus.
Amen.
I never heard the song till I came over here, but I like it. It says, try Jesus.
Amen.
He never fails. Now, some of you aren't like I am. Some of you weren't raised in church. Some of you weren't raised in church. I know that. So let me give you this little anecdote, this little testimony. Mom and Dad carried me in. And there's a few of you that can remember whenever I was this small. They carried me in. I've never known a time when church wasn't a part of my life. That don't mean I'm good. Far from it. I've failed the Lord. I've seen it come short, but I've always tried to stay in church. Sometimes I was on the back, sometimes I was in the front, but I was always in church. All those years and all the people that I've seen go to the altar and ask Jesus to save them, I've never seen one yet that he just said no. I've never seen one yet that Jesus said he's been too bad. I've never seen one yet that Jesus said I'm not going to do it. I've never seen one yet that Jesus rejected and turned away. And let me tell you why. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
Let me tell you why. It's not his will that any, that means you, that any should perish. We may despise men. We may hate them with our very guts. But Jesus wants to save them.
Amen.
It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
From the drunkard to the drug addict to the good godly man, Jesus died to save them all. You may talk to me, and I might not be right where I ought to be. And I may give you bad advice. You may seek the help of your friends, text or call, look on social media. They might not be in the center of God's will. They might not give you good advice. How about number 92? You know it? Just a little talk with Jesus
makes it right.
Makes it right.
Amen.
Let me tell you how you'll get to him, and then I'm done. He's nigh to them that are of a broken heart.
Amen.
And will save such as be of a contrite spirit. I'll go with the contrite stuff, preacher, will you?
Yeah.
Will you? Because I learned, my friend taught me something. I learned that contrite stuff means not just broken, but crushed.
Amen.
Crushed. Crushed to powder. Crushed to the point of the pieces are so destroyed, you'll never be able to even figure out how they ever fit together to start with. Ruined. Land there. Of no use whatsoever. But I'm here to tell you today, he's nigh to them that have a broken heart. And thank God, he'll save such as be of a contrite spirit. If you want Jesus to save you, come his way. What is his way? It's in him we live and move and have our very being. If you want Jesus to save you, call on him. Ask him and want him with all your heart.
Amen.
You'll have come his way. And then he'll relieve you of that fear. He'll take that heartache away. He'll take that condemnation off of you. And you can rise a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
For there's no other name given under heaven that men must be saved.
Yeah.
Than by Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name.
Amen.
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 You know why? Because that's God's way.
Amen.
That's God's way.
That's right.
While we were singing and the service was going on, I was watching the little baby. He was sitting on Isaac's lap and he was just so happy. Just a content. That's the way we all are to be. Because we've got Jesus. He's good to us. Do you know that?
Yes.
He's good to us. If you want to get to Jesus, you got to come his way.
Amen.
His way. You'll never do it your way.
Amen.
You got to come his way. All right, Grady, come on. Play just a verse.